and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Pod of Soul.
Hey, this is Thomas from Fat Tracks Books and Records, and this is the very first episode of Noise in the Margins. It's our podcast that originally was supposed to be for the behind the scenes of our magazine that we're putting out. But really, it's probably going to be more about all of the setup that we're doing for the store, what we're thinking, how we're going about things, just to give kind of a more in-depth view of how things are going. So, that's kind of restating what's going to end up being in our episode zero, which is what you put out to kind of intro your podcast. And it has been so long since I've done a podcast, years. I was living in Metro Atlanta back in Georgia when I was last doing a podcast. So everything's weird. Everything's new. I'm using different equipment. I'm using a different mic, different headphones, different mixer, different everything, even the software. I was using Audacity before, which is the open source stuff. And now I'm using Adobe Audition because, I had to get the subscription to Adobe apps, and it just didn't make any sense to not get the full package when I had to get Illustrator and Photoshop and InDesign for the magazine. And speaking of which, so since I haven't said what the magazine name is yet, except for a few people who know what it is, the name of the magazine is actually Ignite. So there you go. That's the name of the magazine. It actually is a line, I'm not even sure what the word is. It's a line in a Rage Against the Machine song, Calm Like a Bomb. But it's not something that's actually in the lyrics. It's something that he says in the background when he's yelling, Calm Like a Bomb. So there you go. That's the name. That's where it comes from. It's the purpose of the magazine. I don't want to call it a zine. That sounds so lame. It sounded lame in the 90s. It sounds lame now. I'm sorry. But the idea of the magazine is... So I mentioned this in one of the Instagram posts that we were thinking of something along the lines of, like, with Trader Joe's, how they have the Fearless Flyer that they put out every quarter, right? And so every quarter they put it out to say, oh, these are the new products we have. This is, you know, we're so excited about having goat cheese from Spain or whatever. And I kind of leaned towards that because although, yes, we have a website and we want people to go to the website, we want people to be able to shop from the website, I've always kind of felt that unless you are actively looking at the website for shopping, that people don't necessarily go to a website to see what's coming out from their favorite artist or something like that. You just go to, you know, your favorite artist, your favorite author's webpage or socials or whatever. And it's a lot of work for very little return. And I'm not trying to say that I don't want to put forth the effort to make things easier on people that would be, you know, shopping the store or, shopping our bookshop page or whatever. But it's still a lot of work to keep up with where people aren't going to be going there unless they're after something very specific, like listening to the, you know, finding out where the podcast is or looking at where the store is or what the store hours are. I mean, how often do you go to any store to see, well, this is what's new and exciting? It's just not something people really do, in my experience. I could be wrong. I said that before. I could be wrong. But I felt that having a magazine would be a little bit more in line with kind of the theme or the feel of the store. But also, it gives us an opportunity to do more with the community, to help local authors or local poets or really, you know, young writers that just want to kind of throw their stuff out there and see what sticks. So having something where we can say, hey, these are the books that we're looking forward to coming out. Here's some classic stuff. Here's some local stuff. Having that in kind of a zine format. I said zine. I can't believe I said that. A magazine format. It just felt more right, you know. And amusingly, I actually used to have a zine. I can't say that. I used to have something like this, a newsletter, back in high school that I put out once every so often. Because back in high school in the computer lab, we had Microsoft Publisher, or a janky version of it. I want to say we had that. Yeah, we did. Because I put out these little newsletters. And, you know, truth be told, I plagiarized a lot of random stuff that I found in various places. And, you know, made a bunch of copies in the computer lab and left them all over the school. And I never actually got in trouble for that. I'm a little surprised now that I think about that. Maybe they thought that it was constructive. At least I was doing that instead of tearing something up, I guess. Or they just didn't care. But getting back to what I was saying, so, you know, I had this newsletter back in high school, and using Publisher was very, very easy. You know, you picked how many columns. It was like a little newspaper, really. So you like 3 or 4 columns on the page and just fill in the text and maybe throw a couple pictures on there. And there you go. You've got yourself a little newsletter to pass around to your friends and, you know, cause trouble. You know, publish articles like how to build an atomic bomb in your garage. And this was before... Yeah, that was a true, you know, people were building pipe bombs in their garage. That was well before that. Yeah, well before that. But so now I'm using InDesign, which is an Adobe product. And I'm using InDesign because Microsoft has discontinued Publisher, in case you didn't know that. And InDesign is like having a weird version of Photoshop without the advantages of having Photoshop. So you can do certain things, like you can have visual effects on text, but you can't manipulate pictures necessarily. Not really. Like you can stretch, you know, you can scale them or you know, crop them, that sort of thing. But if you have something in it that you want to change the color, you've got to do that in Photoshop or in Illustrator. And it's just really cumbersome. But I mean, that's the name of the game. That's what's available. And like I said, going back to, I'm using Adobe Audition on this because it came with the subscription and I'm not paying that much money a month for a subscription or a bunch of apps if I'm not going to at least try to use them. This does have the advantage of being able to export directly into MP3, whereas Audacity, if you've ever used it, you've actually got to go and find a codec for it and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, but it's not a native thing. Getting back to Ignite, which is the magazine for the store. One of the first things I wanted to do was to find affiliates because I kind of was like, well, if I'm going to put together a magazine, I want to go ahead and have like print ads, right? And not necessarily ads like, hey, take Ozempic and you'll lose 50 pounds even though you only weigh 70. I mean like ads like go to our bookshop page, or these are, you know, companies that I feel are, or that we feel are really something that you should be looking at. And there's been a mess with the affiliates. So Bookshop was actually the easiest one, which was surprising. And Bookshop actually will pay their affiliates and their bookstores through Stripe. And if you don't know what Stripe is, and I think I said this in the Instagram post, but Stripe is a credit processor. And so I'm used to using Stripe with the company that I have, the surveying company I have. And it's, you know, very straightforward. Their fees are very clear cut. They do a lot of e-commerce. I'm very happy with using Stripe. Is it the cheapest? No, it's not. It's absolutely not. But it's the less hiccupy, if but the least hiccupy, the least hiccupy. But then I went to Libro FM, which is the audiobook subscription service that a lot of indie bookstores are big fans of. And understandable, you know, they're the antithesis of Audible. But Libro FM wants a direct connection to your checking account. And I, granted, I haven't gotten real deep into looking at it. So it is possible that I could find a different way to do it. Like maybe they do have some way to link into like Stripe or something like that. But everything that I was reading, they want direct access to a bank account. And I will go ahead and let you know that if you are ever starting or running a business and you're dealing with a vendor or a supplier or someone trying to pay a bill and they want to do a direct deposit or a direct debit, the answer is no. The answer is, oh, no, 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 no. You do not want to let anyone do that. And I know that you're probably sitting there going, yeah, of course. Nobody, who's going to, why would you give you, believe me, obviously a lot of people do because Libro FM is all over the place. I know of a number of different bookstores that advertise Libro FM. So obviously, unless there's something that I'm missing in the paperwork, obviously they're doing it somehow. One of the thoughts that I had was maybe plugging it into a personal account and then dumping that money into the business account. But, it, you know, honestly, that looks like money laundering. That looks real, real cagey. That looks real bad. And although I'm sure any judge that is aware of financial security would probably be sympathetic to doing it that way, I don't think that I want to take that risk, you know? So I'm looking around and I'm like, well, Libro's out. And I find Proton VPN. So if you don't know what a VPN is, that's a virtual personal network or protected network or something. I don't know. And basically, how it works is they provide a path for your internet connection where it bounces around different servers so that your internet browsing is more private. And the reason that you would want that, you know, regardless of your politics, if you don't understand why you don't want someone, you don't want Big Brother, and I put that in quotes, Big Brother, looking over your shoulder. If you don't understand why you don't want that, you are probably not my demographic. Yeah, that's just the reality of it. You're just probably not. You know. But aside from that, I mean, it's a cybersecurity thing. It's something to, you know, kind of keep you a little bit more protected online. And so I signed up with them, and or signed up to become an affiliate. And of course, they've rejected it because we're way too new. I'm sure that, you know, 6 months from now, we've got a bunch of different stuff on socials. They'll probably be like, hey, would you like to be, you know, part of our affiliate program? And at that time, I'll probably be like, no. But I mean, you know, I get it. I do. But it was still kind of eh. So at this point, the only affiliation that we have right now is Bookshop. You know, I'm trying not to spray and pray, if you'll excuse the phrase. I am trying to make sure that the affiliations that we have are that do make sense, you know. But in the age of social media, I mean, I've gotten affiliation offers from really random things that are just like, oh, there are these, they're almost like those Stanley Cup things, but they're meant for like when you go to a drive-thru and you get like an iced coffee, and it's meant that you could slide it into this kind of Stanley Cup looking thing, and it keeps it cold and it's fit just right so that it, yeah. And you're like, oh, don't you want to be an affiliate? And I'm like, not really. I'm not going to be selling these at the store. Why would I want to pretend like I'm selling them now? That's weird. But aside from that, going towards the articles for Ignite. So the first article that I decided upon for Ignite was a reprinting of Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal. And I felt that, you know, that kind of sets the tone for what the magazine is kind of aiming at when we're talking about classics. You know, it's the first real dark version of satire that was widely distributed. And so I'm putting it together. I'm putting it in design. And I start adding pictures. And I have to tell you that when you take a look at this, probably towards the end of the month in reality, the pictures make it dark, make it super dark. And it makes it super dark, not because I'm picking gory or scary or dark pictures. It makes it dark because I'm not picking gory or dark pictures. I'm picking pictures like kids playing, and they're playing right above an illustration of a meat grinder, you know, or, you know, right during the section where Swift talks about men will start loving their wives again, just like they love their, you know, pregnant cow. And I found a picture of this guy kissing his pregnant partner's belly. And I thought that was great. And like I said, when I put it all together, I looked at it and went, wow, this is really, really dark. And so I'm switching gears after that. And I'm thinking that the next article that I'll have is an excerpt from Man's Search for Meaning, which is from Viktor Frankl. And if I'm murdering his name, I apologize. I felt that that's probably a really good counterpoint. But, you know, whereas with Swift, in reality, with Swift, you can republish Swift because he wrote that back in 1720 or something. So with Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, you know, publish an excerpt and then put the bookshop link to the page. And that's kind of what I'm going to go with any of the excerpts that we have from modern books. But beyond that, for the first couple of issues, you know, I don't know how many articles we're going to have. I don't know how deep we're going to get. It's just kind of up in the air right now. Once we start actually getting stuff from local writers, then, you know, I mean, needless to say, I'm not talking about, you know, 30 stories from 30 writers each magazine. I'm going to try to get at least two or three. But this first episode, I'm kind of wanting to just get it out. So we'll see what happens. And with that in mind, that brings us to the next issue, which is an issue for this podcast as well. And that is that with how things are, and I'm being intentionally vague, with how things are, I don't know how much current events I should have in the podcast, plural, in the magazines. I mean, you know, the biggest problem. So if you're part of our community, you know this. If you're not part of the community, and what I mean by not part of the community is not someone from a different state. I'm talking about if you're from, you know, the UK and you stumble upon this podcast for some strange reason, or from France. The truth of the matter for U.S. media is that it is untrustworthy. And I say that very, very strongly. It is untrustworthy. You cannot trust the media in this country because most major media is owned by multi-billionaires that have an agenda. And so it makes it real hard to determine. It's not a question of what's true. It's a question of how much is being edited. It's kind of like the whole joke about, a comma in a sentence is important. You know, a comma changes a sentence from "let's eat grandma" to "let's eat grandma." You know, I mean, there's a big difference there. And that's, like I said, it's not that they don't report a fire. It's that they don't report the cause of the fire necessarily. So, it's a terrible fire. And they don't say, it's a terrible fire that absolutely could have been avoided because these people decide to light the forest on fire and oops, got out of hand or something like that. I'm being very off the wall with that. I'm reaching for an example. So I don't know. I don't know if we want to be more of a haven or more of an activist or what. But this is, this is the first episode. I'm not going to solve all the world's troubles today, unfortunately. I wish I could. And probably won't solve them next week or the week after. But I can tell you that this podcast will probably end up being the catch-all, right? So this, like I was saying at the very beginning of the podcast, this podcast is probably going to be the catch-all for everything with the store. When the stores open, one of the things I do think we're going to have is, because we're a book and record store, we're going to focus the music part of it on, or at least we're going to try to have at least some sort of an emphasis on local musicians. You know, north of Austin, there's music here. And, one podcast is probably going to be whenever we have some artists in the store to play some music or interviews or that sort of thing. Maybe another podcast will be, author events, just whatever. But this one right here, Noise in the Margins, this will probably just end up being the catch-all and me rambling, which I've been doing for about 25 minutes now, looks like. So with that, I think that's it for this week. Next week, I have no idea what we'll be talking about, but I'll be here and hopefully you will too. So until then, take care and we'll see you next time.